You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
This will not be a war of heroes. Which is all to say, this is going to be fun.
The world burns.
You have no idea of what men are capable of.
We must do something.
I know you want to fight. But there are other ways of doing your duty.
You're going to need a suit. Come on. We are the first independent intelligence agency.
Preserving peace and protecting life.
Welcome to the club.
Generals gathered in their masses. Just like witches at black masses.
While governments wait for orders, our people take action.
Plot destruction.
Now it's time to show the world.
Sorcerer of death's construction.
How mighty you are.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Oh my god, that trailer is so excited, and I cannot wait to talk about The Kingsman tonight.
Isn't it amazing what a Led Zeppelin song can do for you?
Isn't it? Isn't it though?
Yeah, so I'm like, where was that movie?
Yeah. Well, it was hiding in this one.
But wait, was that Led Zeppelin? Yes.
No, it was Sabbath. No, it was Sabbath. But, you know.
Yeah, oh, I was like, hang on a second. I'm pretty sure that's
Warpage. I mean, you know. But you could have played the Immigrant Song and everybody would have been like, oh yeah, that, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Hello. Hi, we're back. We're back after last week. Sorry about last week. Last week was just a clusterfuck of shit, much like
Holy
this film.
Holy shit.
Let's talk about The Kingsman.
If the clusterfuck continues.
The clustering of fuck and all things that are going on, it still continues. As you may mm-hmm. notice, there are three kids doing the right thing and one doing their own thing tonight.
Well, but that's just to call attention to it.
I don't need any lip from you tonight.
There is no.
I will say you're in very good clear. Like you look great. Like
yes, iPhone cameras are terrific, aren't
sure.
they?
Yeah. Let's do it. Like, no, it's amazing. Come on. Like, everyone's come screaming into this podcast. Like, it's like, oh my god, I don't have a computer. Nah. What else could go wrong? Can go wrong.
I mean, I would love to turn off the background so you can see just the amount of boxes and shit
no,
around me.
No, I don't want to see that, Quinny.
No,
that is really an unsolicited packing pick, and I don't want to see it.
You don't want to see my pack picks?
No, I don't want to see. You don't.
What are you packing?
A lot of plastic.
Nice.
So much plastic. Oh yeah. As I look around me, and I'm just like box of toys.
We're getting slightly off topic. Hello to everyone in the chat. Sorry about the hiatus last week. It's nice to see you all in the chat. Which I should be like they're there, like technically you're there, but to me you're here. So that's kind of like, I mean,
oh wait, no,
here.
It works
you're
to me in both
here.
Ways.
I don't know where to look.
Oh, I don't know what to do with my hands. The Brady Bunch thing.
Yeah. We're going back to the Brady Bunch thing. But yes, and it's good. We're all above water. We're all like, I think we're all absolutely fine compared to everything else that has been going on.
Speak for your fucking self.
I think Quinny's the one that's in the.
But you're actually moving.
I'm literally moving house because my house has been water damaged and is now moldy and fucked.
But you're okay.
Gross.
But you're okay.
I am okay apart from a very nasty cough and some very serious mold related sickness. So I'm fucking loving it.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're there. Just don't forget if you have any money or you can do anything, you know, maybe donate to a charity. Rare animal.
Probably
rescue.
Not Red Cross.
Anything.
Quinny's GoFundMe.
Yes. Yeah, definitely press F. F in the chat for Quinny's house. Yeah.
and his respiratory system.
Yes, yeah.
You're already donating to Quinny if by watching this stream and subscribing. That's all. Oh, yeah, there you go. They already got there.
He has to
relocate his internet and toys. And I hope that the next place has better internet.
Oh, yeah. Look, that's one bright side.
Yep. Oh, no. I will be moving to the beautiful climes of Annandale.
Emergency moves are always super great and real convenient, and you always end up better and they cost less. Isn't that true?
Yep.
Fuck yeah.
Loving it. Yes. My favorite thing in the world is last minute moving costs.
Yeah, that's just the best, isn't it? You just kind of like, yep. I've got money for that. Like, you sort of sit there and you're like, I saved up some cash. Maybe I'll go on holiday. Nah, fuck it, I'll move.
Yeah.
In a week.
Though I did all of this, all of this was happening whilst I went to Melbourne for the weekend.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just the point. Like, I mean, if I walked into a room and saw water pouring out of the walls
and the floor,
yeah, I'd just go, fuck it, I'm going to Melbourne.
Yep.
I'll deal with that.
I'm going to go and watch a Harry Potter play. Fuck you all.
You are no longer the boy under the stairs in the cupboard. All right. No. Okay. What are we doing this week?
Well, we're doing The King's Man.
We are.
Aren't we super glad that we didn't do this one last week?
Yes.
Why is that, Dion?
Because we didn't check the calendar about what else was going on, and we got very myopic, much like this film. Very myopic. Very, very blinkered in its understanding of the franchise.
Gender politics, maybe?
Oh, we get there. We're going to get there, Quinny. We'll get there.
It was very literally called The King's Man. You can't bloody well make it about women, can you?
Yes.
No.
So we chose to not do it on International Women's Day.
True. I mean, yeah, there was a rapid discussion of like, that's what we put in, but oh, we did not look at that.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Mm-hmm. Good time.
Well, it was either that or the Batman. We weren't really winning either way.
I know. It was all just like, how do we get around this?
It's a man.
Yes,
world.
Thank you, Predakanga. We did miss an opportunity. Could have done the 355. We know. We just didn't look in that way. Look, we fucked up.
Yeah. Call
but
us
we also had
spade,
shit
dude.
That happened. So
yeah. You know. Yeah. I'm going to say yeah. An unexpected random act of God, but also yeah, terrible planning from the male side of things, like everything.
Yeah.
Saved from our poor planning by an act of God. Cheers. You're welcome, ladies.
Wait, me? I wasn't even supposed to be here last week. I was like great. You guys watched The King's Man. I have zero interest in watching that.
Yeah. And then she's like, do I still have to watch it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I literally just talked over you.
Yeah. But we're all like, okay, we're all good, we're all safe, and we have all watched The King's Man, much to Peter's desperate aggrievanced face. I feel actually really super bad because I think there needs to be like a stream of 4 or 5 shows in a row that are just your choice, Peter.
The things that you love.
Because what you've had to sit through based on some of, let's be honest, my recommendations, have not been great. So I think I owe you a few.
I feel like the previous ones I've at least had like a bit of a curiosity to kind of get on board with something that you guys were into, even though it wasn't my thing. And I just feel like this time it was kind of more like, oh, no, I'm not going to like this. Why am I watching it? And I'm not sure, like, you know, if that's a particularly good way to come to a review, to be honest. It's a little bit... useless, I think, to come to review saying wasn't going to like it, watched it, didn't like it. What a great opinion for you.
Absolutely fine, because I will defend this film for at least a good 10-15 minutes. That's about all I've got in the defense, and then I'm like, nah, you can roll over it now, it's fine. I've got some nice things to say about it, but I'm not gonna, I can't actually stand it. Yes I do.
Okay.
And you don't even get to attack the terrible Scottish accent just yet. Because that was one of the things that my Scottish friend had said was the thing. And I was like, just that? Like, that's all you had? I was like, bad Scottish. Anyway.
Okay, so what's our history of the Kingsman films? How have we felt about them pre this one? So there was the Kingsman and then the Kingsman 2, Golden Circle.
I really liked the first one. Second one, not bad. But yeah, their track record with women in the series is not great. Yeah.
I really liked the first one. I really did not like the second one. I wondered why there was a third one when it came to exist. And as I said, liked the second one so little that I was not planning on watching the third one. But I really liked the first one. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really liked the first one apart from the last 10 seconds. Like,
I mean, yeah, that was stupid.
Yeah, like it was an astonishing thing of watching a film be so, you know, kind of on the money all the way through, and then in the last fucking very last shot, scene, whatever, just make you go, oh, for fuck's sake.
Really? So close.
but you see...
You couldn't... No, okay, right, fine.
That's kind of Mark Miller.
Absolutely. Like, it is Mark Miller. It's
yeah, like, you know, it's like...
Captain America and he's a...
Well, I mean, you look, it's you know, Kingsman based off the comic book by Mark Miller and Dave Gibbons, you know, love to Gibbo.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of...
As he has never been known.
He's now. Just have to get that way. But, like, you know, the first one, I had the same kind of issue, which was like, oh, that was kind of a pretty good, you know, rags to riches kind of lowbrow to highbrow. All it takes is what's the film with the woman who becomes the like they
Pretty Woman?
Pretty Woman?
No, they take the bet and then they turn the street scouser into a lady like
My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady. Yeah, yeah. The Taming of the Shrew.
Pretty Woman is based on.
If we're going all the way back.
Pygmalion, not the Taming of the Shrew.
Oh, Pygmalion.
Yes. Peter.
Well, shocked. You know, technically it's the Taming of a Shrew. Yes, okay.
Everyone knows that the modern adaptation of The Taming of the Shrew is 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes, like, absolutely. Yes. Like, yes.
Let's get our adaptation through lines right.
Sure, and I'm happy to be called out where I'm wrong. But, like, that's kind of, I enjoyed that thing from the first one. And then I was like, oh, that was interesting up until the last 10 seconds where you're like, this is just a weird James Bond, slightly, like, incredibly misogynistic ending.
Which, and, funnily enough, they cut in later versions of it. Like, it was... It played so badly that they removed that ending from I think, to the DVD versions.
Why would you spend the entire film making, like, Eggsy a character that you ended up kind of liking, and then right at the end you're like, oh, no, he's terrible. It's like, oh, that he's he's like every English man, terrible, honestly.
Maybe they were trying to set him up for the sequel where, like, the whole film is mostly just terrible.
Oh, yeah, that is just like, you know, it's kind of like they went, oh, you didn't like that bit at the end of the first Kingsman. How about we make it real weird? It's like, but it's
all
the spy.
I can say is at least he didn't just one and done her. Like, he locked that girl down.
Sure.
I mean,
the second one had some
She was into the kinky shit. I don't know. Yeah, they ran with it.
The second one had some weird shit to do with drug use and abuse and.
There was the second one had some very, very poorly judged stuff with sexual politics and like drugged condoms and like weird fucking like and a whole bunch of other really bad ideas with lots of Elton John and the American Kingsman and
The Statesman. I liked The Statesman.
I liked The Statesman as well.
And I liked the Elton John thing. It was fucking weird and funny.
Poppy was just weird. She was just that was just weird.
Julianne Moore.
I'm waiting. I'm seeing Peter blinking absentmindedly. I just need to check something. Peter, did you watch the first Kingsman and the second Kingsman? And now this is the third.
I did. Right. I erased most of the second Kingsman from my mind immediately after watching it. So the details are fuzzy.
Yeah. Do you remember Pedro Pascal had a whip?
Yeah. And Channing Tatum was wearing clothes, which is always a disappointment.
The second Kingsman wasn't great, but it also wasn't abysmal. And
wasn't
then
good.
I don't know where we got to this, but this is just like the strangest fucking prequel. Like the prequel no one asked for.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of shot themselves in the foot, so to speak, in the second one by literally blowing up the thing that they had. Like they destroyed the Kingsman shop and all of the stuff and explained that they had lost everything. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's not going to go well for a sequel. And they're like, I know how to get around this. Let's go prequel. And everyone went, what?
Okay.
And it doesn't have any of the people from there. It just has Ralph Fiennes. So remember, Voldemort in a suit.
Is there a comics link to the prequel? Are these characters in the prequel involved in the comics?
Never read the comics.
To say, I don't think that this is anything to do with the comics. Like, I don't think, I think it is a film version, like it's a film universe. And I'm not sure that it has anything to do with the comics. Which is, yeah, again, you're just kind of like, okay, fair enough. I mean, it's I can't remember. I know, honestly, let's be honest, I didn't read too many of the comics after the first one, and then they made a film of it. And I'm like, cool. I couldn't tell you that there was, you know, more to the story and that you had to read the comics to get the real idea of the background and why they kept fridging women. we'll get there. We'll get there. It's okay. It's coming.
I think actually an interesting thing, I'm just reading a little bit about the comics, and like the first series is The Secret. It's called originally called The Secret Service, which, you know, the subtitle continued on. It got a sequel called The Big Exit in 2017, which is a 6-page one-shot that premiered in an issue of Playboy magazine.
Cool.
Yeah. Set shortly after Brexit. It follows Eggsy's his task with safeguarding the controversial divorce fee. It's cool.
Okay. So they've got a target audience, it seems like.
Yeah. And I think that sort of tells you a lot about who they are, you know, trying to talk to.
Sure. And
so yes, that brings us to this Kingsman the King's Man.
About a synopsis of this movie.
Do we have any music?
Sure. The music that this film deserves.
As a collection of history's worst tyrants and criminal masterminds gather to plot a war to help wipe out millions, one must race against time to stop them. Discover the origins of the very independent, intelligent agency in The King's Man.
God is going to be so mad at you.
I know.
Quinny, that is the best Egyptian accent I've heard all year.
Ugh, he's a wee ball bag. You fucking negotiate. Do you want the shit Scottish or the really shit Scottish? Hang on, I'll do it as Sean Connery.
Oh, no.
Which, in the case, I'll do it totally Russian. As a Russian, Spanish, Egyptian.
If you're talking about that, Quinny, I want you to watch one of the episodes of Mad as Hell, maybe last week's one, where they do a Hunt for Red October, Sean Connery, Scottish bit, a bit of a skit. And I was like, that's actually fucking pretty good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Sean Connery doing a Russian submarine captain. Fair enough. Anyway. Yes. Well done. Thank you. Good synopsis. I don't know.
I don't know. What did he say?
The briefest of tenets is trying to explain
where the Kingsman came from.
A collection of history's worst tyrants and criminal masterminds gathered a plot to start a war to wipe out millions, and one man must try and stop them.
Right.
Ralph Fiennes and his son, and not one man, in fact, four or five people must then try and stop Rasputin and some other people.
And here's where I kind of want to go out on one of the tangents of where I think it's good. Like, having all of those people in a room as some sort of weird mastermind thing where they seem to be on the top of a fucking
butte.
Weird location.
That was fucking dumb. But I did appreciate some of the British history lessons of trying to explain how the monarchies of Europe are literally all intertwined.
Agreed. I did like that bit because I was like,
it's like all of the people in Europe are worried. It's like, oh, it's countries versus countries. No, it's literally cousins who are just fighting with each other because that's what they do, because they are all related by blood.
Yep.
Which was kind of like, that's one of the best things about the film, is that it actually explains that, they're all the fucking same.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. When you cut through the heart of it, whether it's the Kaiser, whether it's the Germans, or whether it's the British, they're all basically the same toffee-nosed fuckwits who are playing international games of war with millions of lives, and those millions of lives are young people.
Yeah, and Tom Hollander was in there playing, like, all of them, King George, Kaiser Wilhelm, and Tsar Nicholas. Like, Russia, Germany, England, they're all the same person.
Are we talking about the Kaiser? Cha-cha-cha?
Of course. And, you know, that's about the nicest thing I've got to say about that there. And then the rest of it reads like a literal boy's own adventure. And even though they had, what a twist. I'm like, it's not a twist. I'm still shitty that you fridged the mum.
Oh, yeah.
Like, immediately. And that that she's only...
But
also, it's kind of like, oh, well, you're just playing the stereotypes. It's like, you're a man who went to war in Africa for the crown. Probably a good idea for you to get the fuck out of Africa. But then his wife was a humanitarian aid worker for the Red Cross. So you go to kill people, and then your wife comes in to save them. Yes.
So what was the first thing that you sent to us, Peter, while you were watching the film?
Something to do with, it was 5 minutes into me watching it.
Yeah.
Like, is there a fucking fridging 5 minutes in? Are we serious?
Yes, yeah. It.
And it's not even like, I had a vigorous conversation about this at work today, about the merits of the film, because I had a conversation with somebody who actually really, really enjoyed the film. I just don't see how this was a necessary plot point. The entire plot could have happened, even the bits that I thought were stupid, the entire plot could have happened without the wife being fridged.
Yeah.
Like, if nothing else, don't introduce her to the plot.
Yeah. And then I have something that I will say for spoilers that kind of like just rubs salt into the wound over the whole death as well.
For sure. I feel you on that one, Jill.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also does the like, it really shits on the whole thing that also there's only one other woman in the film.
Yeah.
She's like, she's a
No, there are two. There was a bad woman and there was a hero woman.
There is a bit like 30 seconds and there's a maid. And the maid is always saying things like, oh, why are boys so untidy? Like,
and the bad woman was a femme fatale.
I'm pretty sure I saw Rasputin coming in with a couple of hot ladies at one point. That's character growth.
Speak a word? No.
they communicated through the language of dance.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Still so happy we didn't do this on International Women's Day. Sorry, Peter. Sorry.
I was going to say, my next message to you guys was like 30 minutes later, which was just like, seriously, what the fuck am I watching? Like, I was so confused by that point.
Yeah.
What was the thing that was starting to really like confuse you? Was it the meandering plot?
No. I'd gotten up to the weird Rasputin scene and I was like, what is this? And that was the crux of the conversation I had with my friend. My friend was like, you know, it's really entertaining. You've just got to take it at face value for what it is, which is basically a parody of the whole James Bond secret service genre. And I'm like, that's fine if it feels like it's playing as a parody from the beginning. So like Austin Powers as a very camp and obvious example. The problem is it doesn't feel like it's playing as a parody from the beginning. It feels like it's taking itself very seriously until that scene where it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Now.
And it honestly feels like it's a different film. Like, up until that point, like, and it's total, it's fucking totally all over the shop.
Yeah.
Like, there's this sort of, yeah, boy's own adventure stuff with guns and swords and fighting and you know, wire work and shit like that. But then occasionally there's very, very dark, you know, war stuff, you know, trench warfare that is really, you know, played for fucking horror. Serious shock. And then Dance Rasputin that just needed Boney M in the background to work.
So pissed off they didn't do that.
I'm angry.
Well, if you guys
immediately lost 10 points for not putting Boney M in.
Oh, I didn't want to give the game away, but like, you know, that was the clip that we have. But I've already got the spoiler logo up because I forgot to turn it off. So fuck it, whatever. We're here now. Yeah, look, I tried really hard to get into this because I just wanted to go along with it. And I found that the more rope I gave it, it just kept wrapping the rope around its neck. And I was like, no, you don't need to use it. I'm not giving you the rope to do what you're hanging. You're hanging yourself now. You've made it into a noose and you're throwing it over the rafter. Like, what are you doing?
You appear to be enjoying this hanging yourself. Yeah, yeah. And you have a weird boner. What the fuck, dude?
This is... You were really getting into like that. I was just kind of like, it's
I'm not going to look at you. Want me to look at you? Why? Yeah. I'm not, dude.
Stop this. Oh. But yeah, like I got really... like the same kind of thing. I got really fucking confused watching this, just sort of going, yeah, what am I? Is this a joke? Is it like... You know, very well at the start, the original Kingsman was played straight and then had some weird bits and tried to be a bit comedic, but you're really there for the action. You're really there for the action of it and the ridiculousness of it. And the second one, like, tweaked up the ridiculousness of it and I thought lost a bit of the action apart from, you know, a couple of stunt drives. This one, I actually, when I went back and kind of pieced together the action scenes that are in it, it's really strong. Like, it's a pretty good action film if you look at it in the context of the action sequences that it's portraying. But the rest of it is so disjointed that you're like, what the fuck am I? Why?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But why? We need a prequel, but why is it like it is?
Yeah.
And but why do entire plot points happen that take up a lot of the movie and then actually have no bearing on the actual plot of the actual movie?
Because war bad.
Look, Peter Kanger made a really good point that nothing comes close to the church scene. And I've got to say, I think when you watch these Kingsman movies, it's like that's what you're watching it for. You want this epic long take action scene with a cool soundtrack, and that's kind of the signature of these movies.
Mm.
We had that. In the second one, we had breaking into the compound with the briefcase shields and that kind of jam. But when it came to this one, we're like, oh, okay, this Rasputin fight, this is going to be the bit. It was boring.
And weird.
I loved how weird it was besides
the weird like licking the leg orgasm thing, like found that uncomfortably hilarious. But the fight, it's like, okay, this is the thing we were waiting for, and then it's like, oh, but I don't really care.
You got into it, D?
I mean, like, no, I got into the weird Russian ballet strange fight because it was strange but competent enough that I believed it. So that's where I was like, okay, no, I'm down for this. Like, it's that right amount of weird where, you know,
he's using, you know, as you say, Russian ballet Bolshevik dancing.
He's Bolshoi fighting. But what I couldn't get around was the reason of the main villain, you know.
What does anyone, can anyone, I mean, and that's shepherd. Spoilers.
Well, I mean, you know, like the shepherd that was in there. Yeah, but why? Like, I kind of get, it's so strange that it jumped around a lot. Like, it started off as this thing. It's like, okay, we're setting in the Boer War, and then you're growing up, and then it's setting around the trouble leading into World War One, and then it kind of takes another weird time step into the middle of World War One, where you're like, okay, stuff's been going on for a while, and you know, that's when it started to get a little bit more fighty and dark, and then it comes, you know, the twist, and then it comes back out again where you're like, oh, I don't need you to resolve this shit. I don't care. Like, all of the interesting stuff has already happened. What you're doing now is just kind of dull.
And it's interesting, like, that they've tried to base it very much on the real world events that were, like they're clearly trying to hang things on big world events to try and make a narrative.
Yeah, like the Franz Ferdinand thing.
And- yeah. And, you know, the history with the three cousins and then, you know, what really kind of kicked things off into World War One and all that kind of stuff. And you're kind of like, interesting. And it reminds me a little bit of some of the ideas that they, that, what's his name? League of Extraordinary Gentlemen did. Like, not the movie, the comic books. Sorry?
Oh.
Why, did you like the film?
I like some of the character designs.
Actually, now I think about it, that's what this film reminds me of.
Yes. It's the same motivation as Moriarty from the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is like, I want war to make money. Except this one is like, I want to, well, I don't have
I want war to make people sad.
Yeah.
Because fuck the British.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
you know, cool. It already does that.
Yeah.
Yes. It's, you could have just let them keep doing the whole imperialism shit and people would have been sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that weird kind of alternate history kind of feel.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we're going back in time and we're going to use moments of real history, but there we're going to give it our own slant. Mm. And as somebody in the chat said, and I can't remember who it was, but that feeling that the style of fighting and everything that they were doing didn't actually match with the time period that they were in.
No.
So it feels oddly anachronistic. And I kept on thinking, okay, when's the point where we've shifted into being alternate history, you know? Like, yeah. I kept on expecting it to be like Inglourious Basterds or something like that, where they actually do just kill Hitler.
Well, speaking of this, like, and if you want to get into weird, anachronistic sort of things, technically speaking, the Kingsman is part of the Millerverse, which means it exists in the same universe as the Kick-Ass movies. So make that of that what you will.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. sorry, Pete, your brain's break. Have you seen Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So just think that Kingsman and Kick-Ass are the same universe. So after he goes and visits the Statesman, he can go and see, you know, Hit Girl. She could turn up in this.
The unfortunate thing is I'm pretty sure that also means that it works in the same history as Jupiter's Legacy.
I never watched that.
It's not good.
Ixnay on the Upita J.
No. It's a weird thing about fucking dogs and I don't get it.
Yes, and technically, Rob, yes, it could include also Wanted.
yeah.
That's part of the Millerverse. Jesus. Yeah, look.
Okay.
It felt to me like a very strange, and this is the question I want to know. Do you think that Mark Miller is pro-government or anti-government? Not really based on this one, because I'm not sure he had too much to do with this. But, I mean, I forgot this real weird vibe is like, oh, we need an independent intelligence organization to do the things that government can't do or won't do because they seem too bureaucratically inept for some reason. And I was like, have you seen the British government? Like, they had MI5. Like, they work with the CIA and MI5 are institutions that literally fuck with other countries. It's their job. Mm. So I'm kind of like, I'm really concerned. There's like, oh, they wouldn't do anything to stop bad people. And I'm like, no, they're probably the bad people. Like, if you're going to run the agency to stop, like, an independent agency to stop bad people, you'd be fighting against your government most of the time.
Yeah. And it's also interesting that while, you know, this concept of an independent ICAC for spies is, you know, such a cool idea, at no point yet are we seeing them, you know, diving into the corruption and badness in, like, British sort of systems of government or anything. It always seems to be about the other parts of the world.
It feels like a very ignorant kind of fantasy.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, I would really love to play in this world, but I don't actually know anything about the politics of spying.
Yeah. What I do want to do, though, is be really cool. Well-dressed.
Exactly. I just want to look really fly and fight people with mad skills. And it's a little bit juvenile.
Yes. A good one that Predaganger pointed out. Yes, that extra political bureau of spies has the literal king on the spy board. Like, we don't work within government. We've got the king on our side.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Not independent at all.
Yes, yes. Not independent.
So produced by Matthew Vaughn, who is the director of, producer on Kingsman, Golden Circle, and director on Kingsman, but also he director on Kick-Ass and stuff like that. There is a long history with Matthew Vaughn and Mark Miller working together. And I mean, an interesting one in that Vaughn is probably one of the more successful independent filmmakers around. Like, he makes his films independently of any studios and then just sells them.
I mean,
so these ones, things like this, just make him money. And more power to him. Are they any good?
He's helped bring about things like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, Layer Cake, Stardust, which I quite enjoyed, even though no one else did.
I love Stardust.
X-Men First Class was also good, but
true.
These kinds of things. So yeah, it's not like it's terrible. It's not like he's not fucking Uwe Boll just churning out shit for producer credits. Credits.
But... yeah, like it's still got that kind of desire to be seen as being independent, but at the same time still being very safe and very Boise. Like, that's to me, that's the biggest thing that I struggle with this one, is that it just feels so fucking Boise.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But that's caused my problem with the last one as well. Like, you know, the reason I switched off to the last one is because it just felt so fucking Boise. At least in the first one, there was a female character who was, one of the good guys and was smart and clever and a good fighter, and then immediately got killed off in the second one, from what I remember. And then it was all the boys go to save the day. And that was just boring. It's just boring for me. And then, the major fridging at the beginning of this one was not a good sign for my, potential enjoyment of the film.
Yeah. And it was a fridging. It was a fridging in vain as well.
It was a fridging in vain because, it was utterly, actually unnecessary to forward the plot, as were later things. Just so Boise. I don't like. You know, gross. I don't know. It's just boring. I guess it's, and that's where I'm like, this was very clearly a film not for me.
I'm not sure who this film is for.
Not every film has to be for every audience member out there, but this was definitely not a film for me.
Honestly, this out of all of the Kingsman films that have come out so far, this literally felt to me like a private school boy's fantasy version. So in the first one, it was kid from the street rat does good, comes up in the world, fair enough. In the second one, it's kind of like America still does cool things too. They can work with the British. And in this one, it's just like, remember the good old days when, we had world wars and we did good things, chop chop, pip pip and all that.
It was only missing the catchphrase. This movie's catchphrase is definitely chaps will be chaps.
Chaps will be chaps.
And look how useful the class divide can be.
Yeah. Clothes maketh the man.
I have to say, I don't know if I loved or hated the whole explanation of the Kingsman network of servants being that, spies listen at keyholes, ours are in the room, but then the only time you ever see the Kingsman network of servants being active is they're listening at keyholes. I'm like, well.
Can I say that the whole premise of the series of them being spies and stuff and working in from a tailor shop makes no fucking sense in this movie, even though they tried to explain it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, here's this random shop that I go to get my suits made, and then we're going to turn it into our spy bunker.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, like, you know, get together all the serfs and then make them our spies, but we're going to take all the credit for it.
Yeah, that's the thing that I started to get a really icky sense of.
Yeah, of so like, fucked up.
Especially because in the end, the people who are still calling the shots on it are still kind of the fucking upper crust. They're lords. They're you know.
And when you compare it to the first Kingsman film with the whole manners make us man and we're all dressed up in these cool suits and we do all this stuff, there's absolutely no connection to this thing because it's like, who said manners maketh man? It was probably some rando that was like working in the shop that had nothing to do with any of this stuff.
Like, I just I'm like, it, go, how often the rich in British society just getting a new suit? Because the whole thing of it is just like, hey, well, it's Monday, better pop down for a new hand bespoke handmade suit.
I'm especially going in the fucking 1900s. Like, how much money are these guys making?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's be honest. It was imperial. It was imperialist Britain, so enough. should we? I know I've been asked in the chat, like, are we in spoilers yet? It's like, kind of.
Yeah.
May as fucking well be.
There are a couple of big spoilery rants that need to happen, so maybe we need to write a clip.
Sure, ratings would be great, and then we can watch a bit of the good old Rasputin ballet fighting, and then we can come back and talk real spoil, like damn spoilers. Am I going first? Is that what you're asking?
I also want to shout out to Rob, whose idea of wouldn't it have been nice to have Hercules Mulligan working in that tailor shop?
Sure, maybe
Hercules Mulligan.
Make it working in the Statesman's version. Who knows?
Oh yes, sure. I like it.
Sure. I mean, at least they weren't having Digimon Hunsu working in the shop.
Oh.
Yeah, and why wasn't he one of the Kingsmen?
Well, he...
Yeah.
Okay. I have an answer, but it's not good to say it.
No. Racism.
Entrenched racism. Look,
honestly, this one falls... because of some of the interesting set pieces and some of the ideas that they put in there that I quite enjoyed, and I absolutely adored Reese Iffens eating everything. Like, not just the scenery. He was eating scripts, other people's lines.
Eyes.
The cinematographer at one point, he was just like
vomiting it back up.
Yeah, the goats.
Yeah. The goat, everything. The goats. Like, you know, your ticket stub from the cinema. He's just like, ah.
I'm just imagining, like, you know, you're watching it in the cinema and suddenly Reese Evans just pops up beside you. And you're like,
In full costume. And I was like, okay, there's greatness in there. So like, I kind of do that. And the rest of it, I felt everyone was just playing it very much by numbers. And no one else did anything interesting on the screen whatsoever.
Oh, some savagery going on at the ratings in the chat.
I love it. Go for it, guys. This is absolutely fine. I'm going to give it, like, honestly, yeah, I'm going to get down to like 50. It's like, it's like if I started that thing of like, oh, this is what I liked, and they started taking like marks off for other things, I was like, oh, like, but it's on par. Like, the first Kingsman, you know, probably give it like, what, maybe 75, 80. And then the second Kingsman, I was like, oh, this is weird. But this is kind of like, can I say it's better than the second one? Not really.
It's not.
It teeters strangely in that thing, but also absolutely lackluster villain. And do I need another like prequel? No. Anyway, there we go. Fitty. Fitty Bones.
Fitty. Wow. Oh, Pete. I'm running everybody else's ones down.
I don't know. I almost feel like I should recuse myself from rating because I knew so certainly before I even watched it that I wasn't going to like it, so I don't know that I should rate it. Like, this was just so obviously not a film for me. So
give it an objective score.
Well, I think I'll just go. I'll go with Dion, like, right in the middle. I can't say that it made me angry. I just didn't like anything about it, so I'm 50.
At least you tried.
Right. I'm gonna jump in just because fucking why not. I started watching it, and there were parts where I was quite entertained. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is kind of toddling along. Okay. And then, you know, at every fucking turn, another wheel fell off. And the tonal shifts were like some kind of barreling cart chase as we were like careening around corners, and another fucking wheel fell off. And it could have been an 18-wheel cart. And by the end of it, we still would have had no fucking wheels, because it was just a shit show. It was a mess. And I wanted the good ideas to be in a good film. I wanted them to have good company, but they don't. They're just in a stupid film. And I think the thing that really kind of fucked me up was that we'd spent two films getting to know a likable character like Eggsy. And then in this one, the character that felt like maybe he may have been our Eggsy stand-in gets fucking removed from the film. And you're like, oh, okay. Right, we're with Rafe, are we? Oh, okay. And...
Oh, his name's Ralph. Just call him Ralph Fine.
I know. I refuse to fucking call him Rafe. Like, get off your high horse, dude. Fucking Ralph. Shit's sake.
Yeah. So, yeah, for me, it's...
how they're pronounced, guys.
It is, but, you know, whatever.
No. can't spell it Ralph and say, oh, it's Rafe.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Ralph.
My name's Gerald, but it's pronounced Jean.
That's a dig at Jif.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where Pete's coming from.
I didn't say
now
Gerald.
Now I see it.
For me, it's a 52, because I didn't think it was utter, it was terrible, but there were some moments in there that I was like, yeah, cool. And then there were a lot more other moments where I'm like, this is shit.
I'm just waiting. Okay, so do you have anything to bring us back to the wheel metaphor you were saying?
hey, look, my analogies game was fucking strong.
Just checking.
Well, and also it had to be a cart because, you know, it was,
I was waiting. You're going somewhere with the wheels, and I'm like,
It started in a cart, okay? The film started with a
wheels
cart
or
pulling
doors,
up.
Guys. Like, we could talk about this for ages. Maybe Jill. We just need to hear Jill.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, I just had a real good chuckle over Wreck-It Rafe in the chat from Rob.
Oh, dear. I love it. I'm going to mispronounce it.
I'm going to give it a 49. I went in thinking, oh, I hope we get some cool stuff like the other movies. And then we didn't really. And I had a lot of high hopes for a character. And then I'm like, and then, oh, no more and then. And yeah, we were delivered Ralph Fiennes being trying to step into Liam Neeson's shoes of being like a cool spy dad that, you know, fights people. And I'm like, nah, it's working for me with Liam Neeson's not going to work for me with Ralph Fiennes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Peter. I refuse to call him Rafe. I refuse.
It is like, I know him personally.
Doing it very much on purpose. If there's a GIF with Ralph Fiennes in it, I would love to see it.
You're equating this to the GIF thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. English is a wonderful language.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of a geezer feature. That's lovely.
Look, okay, let's not dance around this this subject anymore. Let's get straight on to some. I want to call it breakdance fighting.
Did you happen to put Ra-Ra Rasputin in the background?
No. Sorry, I apologize. I'll put Ra-Ra Rasputin at the end of this podcast for people to Ra-Ra out to. But for right now, let's watch Ra-Ra Rasputin doing some Ra-Ra ballet dance fighting.
French?
Okay, fine, whatever.
Now that's more like. Time to dance.
on your graves. Go and help your father.
Breathe. You're right. Breathe.
Seen that one? No, it's weird. It's just weird.
It was
not
okay.
A great fight scene. It's just weird.
Like rewatching that, I'm like, oh yeah, I quite like that bit.
Yes.
See,
yes.
that's the bit that takes it above 50 for me.
Yeah.
The bit before it was just so weird and confusing and like why?
But why?
Jill, lay the spoiler rant on us, please.
Oh my God! Why do you set up the sun to be the hero and then kill him?
There was like 3/4 of the movie that didn't need to be in the movie.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, let's move the whole plot forward by killing this boy's mother and then having his father raise him under a very strict sort of thing. Yep. And then like, you know, set him up to be the next Eggsy. And then it's just like, oh no, well, we're gonna shoot you in the head now.
But
I feel
then,
like they were trying to George R. R. Martinus, but just failed miserably because it was like, why did I watch the 50 minutes of this film that involved this character?
Exactly. Yeah. Why did you make me like this guy and then, you know, want him to have his moment in the sun and be like awesome? And then he does have that, and then you fucking kill him.
It just but goes then, to explain
then
the
they,
futility
they just replace
of war.
Him. Sorry, Dion.
No, I just
go again.
It just explains the futility of war. That bad things happen to good people when they just are fine. Look, I don't know.
Like, I feel like we've all got the futility of war thing. Yeah. I actually really, I genuinely really hate war movies because I just find them, particularly those ones where you like, a lot of those boys would have been 15, 16 years old because they did all lie about their age. And I find it really, really depressing. To then have to like watch all of that just to be like, oh, you tried to be edgy, but I don't think it worked.
I mean, if there's one thing.
Okay, sorry, I want to get this point in. The thing that shits me about it is that kill him off, fine, but then to then have the person that he just randomly gave his name to show up and become part of the Kingsmen for no good fucking reason. I was like, if it was, you know, somebody who saved his life heroically or something like that, or, you know, somebody that he saved while he was out there, you know, bringing back in the person, or, you know, something that had some meaning. No, it was just a dude who he took his fucking name.
Yep.
Yeah.
Welcome to the aristocracy. Welcome to the aristocracy, Quinny, where you don't need merit. You just need a name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just like, if he'd just delivered the message, oh, your son's dead, and then fucked off, I would have been like, okay. But for them to then include him into the rest of the plot.
But then you wouldn't have gotten so Galahad.
Weird. Why was he Galahad? What had he done?
I can hear Peter's voice coming out of your mouth, Quinny.
But why?
Why? Just made no fucking sense.
Yeah.
True. But I mean, like, you know, this is what I say. It was a bunch of interesting scenes wrapped together in a terrible biscuit that everyone was forced to chew on. Yeah, like, I mean, I liked the little sort of silent fist fight in No Man's Land. Like, I get that because that's actually, you know, taken from there, is that sometimes they would run into other people out in No Man's Land, and if they shot anything or made a sound, like a loud sound, they would start shooting flares and then bombing the fuck out of everything again. So they just kind of had this understanding is like, well, we're going to have to kill you, but try and do it quietly so each side doesn't shell the fuck out of us. Interesting. But yeah, ultimately pointless.
Yeah. Like, and to me, that whole war sequence kind of felt like it belonged in a totally different film. Like, and the fact that it ends so weirdly abruptly with, you know, lead character dying, you're like, what? Why did we do this?
The film was already kind of interesting enough with a bunch of like famous evil characters from history in a room being controlled by one guy who you never got to see, but is definitely Scottish and has some weird goat fetish.
Yep.
And then when that reveal comes out, I was like, huh?
Did anyone like give
not even
fuck
a
about
not
that
even
bad
a
guy?
Huh? It was just more like, huh?
Yeah, I was like, what? But why?
Yeah, everyone.
I was like, what was his problem?
I felt like you needed...
It transfers the but why to the entire plot then.
Yes. I wish, like, I'm having such a horrible life as the attaché to the leader of the British military.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty fucking cushy job.
I mean, to be fair, the Scots had and have a lot of reason to be very angry at the British. But I don't understand transplanting that into this plot line specifically.
Yeah.
Like I mean, did
I felt like they were just trying to get somebody to be Robert Carlyle. Yes. From Trainspotting.
It's Begbie.
But, yeah, 100 years. It's proto-Begbie.
Yeah. Like, but, I mean, I kind of, like, also wonder about the end game there, where if you're thinking about this, is that the Scotland is part of the British Empire, but by setting a war against England, Germany, and Russia all to get fighting each other, that doesn't help Scotland. Like, that doesn't help the Scottish people at all.
No.
You know,
That was the question.
Yeah, I mean...
And then I'm like, maybe I just wasn't paying attention and missed some of the, you know, bit where the villain tells us why he's villaining. Because by that stage, I was just like, ugh.
You I'm sly dog, this. You've got me monologuing again.
Oh. Also, the inexplicable projector kind of got me because I'm like, it's cool that they're fighting in front of a film projector, but also, why? Like, what's it doing there? Why is it on?
Arty. Also, I would like to know if you were the attaché of a military commander, like, what's his name? Sorry, I forgot his name. The British guy who died.
Kitchener.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you have the time to just pop off to your butte?
Yeah.
So your goat butte in the middle of nowhere and just be
but
like...
But why goats?
Because, yeah, and like also the first mistake, like, you know, I love it's like, oh, I found this and it's from this only one very rare like alpaca person. And I'm like, well, that's your first fucking mistake. You're not just buying everything at generic place. Like, it's always that kind of thing. It's like, I can't get rid of my Angora sweaters.
Are you wearing, you know, mohair pants or Angora sweaters? Like, how can you possibly be so angry whilst wearing such soft clothing?
So, but why the evil toupee? It's like the only reason for that is to misdirect the audience because, like, generally, like, if he's going to be bald, he's bald. But hang on, he's bald when he's evil but toupee'd when he's good? I mean, that's just a stereotype.
It is, absolutely.
do we get down onto, like, do we agree with the alcoholic Duke after his son died? And then he had to be chastised by his nanny, who he then has a bit of a thing for?
Gross. And also, yes, like, only female character with more than two lines also has to then make out with the male protagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Duh.
Yeah.
That's what happened. If there's one thing I've known is if I employ someone, eventually they're going to fall in love with me. This is why I'm not.
I better
employer.
Get a cleaner then.
That's what happens with all those people who have come to clean the pool. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
That's love, isn't it?
I am. Well, British aristocracy, it kind of is. Like, I've employed someone. Oh, now I'm having feelings and urges.
Yes.
Very Mr. Rochester of you.
Yeah. That's something I really don't know how the fuck got past everybody in the making of this, of going, hang on, isn't it really, really skeezy, the idea that, like, the servants, you know, are the power behind all of this, but also their relationship with their masters or whatever is super gross. Fucking weird and not cool.
Yeah,
and
yeah. It's like everyone, like, who's a servant is kind of like, I hate you,
but I'll spy for you and technically I'm in charge of you. And it's almost that thing of, like, you know, when everybody sort of writes Alfred as being the person who kind of keeps Batman going, like he is almost, yeah, like, responsible for creating that.
It'd be funny to find it, like, if this was in that universe, it'd be like Alfred has just been informing to the Joker the entire time. And you're like...
Like, I can understand the servants outside of the Fiennes household wanting to like rat out their masters for the sake of like, I don't like these people that I work for and they're all terrible, but you know, I'm gonna spill all their secrets kind of thing. But then it's like, don't they realize who they're ratting to? And like, yeah.
And for all of those people that go and rat out their masters and stuff like that, and those masters then
probably in this case.
Sorry? Yeah, employers.
Employers.
I like that word better.
Yeah. Okay. But do they then realize? Yeah, sorry, my bad. But do they then realize that when they do that ratting out, there's a pretty good chance that their employer is going to be killed and they're going to be unemployed?
Well, there's that as well. Like, yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing is just fucking odd.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of odd shit.
Yeah.
Like, I have nothing in defense of the King's Man to say other than I can understand exactly how this film was made after watching that absolute kerfuffle with the women's organization logo that came out in Australia this week. Just to say, yep, that went through a bunch of people, but that just goes to
a bunch of men.
I guarantee you no woman saw that logo.
I honestly, you know what? I think every single graphic design department needs a room of teenagers and you just throw ideas, you just throw ideas in there and you just let them run at it for like a half a day and then be like, here's some crayons. What are you going to do with that? And then check the toilets out after. That's it. That's all you need. It's just kind of like, yeah, I made a dick out of it. It's like,
right. Yeah.
Okay.
What's the Raven's Banquet? Mythic Quest?
Mythic Quest. Still a
what's the TTP on this?
Yeah, time to penis. Time to penis. I love that everyone who saw that.
Zero. There is zero time to penis.
Everyone saw that and just went, penis. Like, immediate.
Oh my God. I actually had someone say it looked like boobs and a tampon. And I'm like, oh, even better.
Yeah, good.
Sure. Like,
why did that woman, the W, have to have the little curly Q? I mean, cubes. Isn't that the hairy balls? Like,
I do like that it has actually been removed, or as many people said, it has been pulled.
And now there's just a mess to clean up. Oh.
Just a wet spot where it used to be.
Oh. I love that Peter is just like,
waka, 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 waka.
You'll make a dick joke one day.
I just wanted to say hi to everyone in the chat who I can't see because I'm on my phone, so I have to now be keep up with the chat.
Yes. Okay.
Did you know that people have been saying that they're waiting for Pitapril to come, which is you get to choose every show we review in April, so it's going to be called Pitapril.
Let's do it. You guys are going to be in for some fun if that's the case.
Or Pedapril, if you want to pronounce it your way.
That sounds like a drug for some sort of fungal disease.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've been spraying Pedapril around the house lately.
Everyone's 100% here for Pedapril.
About Pitapril.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just put the pronunciation in a different
spot. See, Jill, I can already ruin that by saying pee. We don't want to talk about pee. It's not peeing on anything. See, easy to ruin.
The chat loves you anyway, Pete.
Yes, the chat is all there for you. Yeah, how did we get here? We don't know where we're here. I have nothing like good to say about the remainder of the Kingsman. Should you watch it? No, I don't think it adds anything to the Kingsman films.
Thing is, what is good about it is that it's currently on Disney Plus. Oh. So essentially,
if you already have a subscription, you've already paid.
You can
for it.
See it. And I'm really curious about what the hell the 2023 expected Kingsman the Blue Blood.
Oh no. What?
Not more.
He's
Kingsman what?
He's mapping it out. He's trying to get the Kingsman, which is a sequel to the Golden Circle. And he's trying to get Dwayne Johnson.
Oh.
And it finishes the Eggsy trilogy, as he's calling it. And I'm just like, Anyway, it's apparently getting the go, but I don't know who's in it yet.
Sorry, I just want to also just shout out very quickly before we finish up all of this, some of the cast who are in this that you go, oh, that's going to be good. So Daniel Brühl is in it. Does anyone remember what he did?
He was in it.
Mm, yes.
Yeah.
Like Charles Dance. Charles Dance is a fucking great actor.
Yeah.
He was in the
start of it.
Yeah. Aaron Taylor Johnson, you know, Quicksilver.
He was in it.
He's in it.
And Kick-Ass.
I watched this movie. He was in it.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know.
Kick-Ass is in this film? What?
Yep.
It is part of the Millerverse.
He's Lancelot. He's the one. So that's the thing. He's the one that took over from Son Who Died in War.
Oh, rude.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Son Who Died in War. That's his character name now.
What was
Sorry.
That kid's name?
I love that actor. Dixon, he played Son Who
Conrad
Died in War.
Oxford.
Son Who Died in War.
Son Who Died in War.
Yes.
I feel like everyone needs a name like that of just something that their character arc was.
Yeah. And then, there's a whole bunch of quite good names in it. And Stanley Tucci's in this. I love Stanley Tucci.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Then he's fucking, like, there's so many good people in this film and they're used so badly.
Mm. Yeah, we can't.
Anyway, I feel like some of these people had a day off and they were like, what can I do on my day off? Oh, I'll go be in this movie.
Oh.
Which admittedly was what they did for Golden Circle, though that was fucking Eggsy and what's his name doing Rocket Man in the in-betweens.
Oh, Elton John.
Elton, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why
got nothing
you?
Better to do.
Everyone just go watch that movie again.
Yeah, yeah.
Go and watch Rocket Man. Go and watch fucking Stardust. Have all those wonderful
go back
things.
In Matthew Vaughn, like, but Layer Cake. Layer Cake's a good film. I quite enjoyed Layer Cake. It was Daniel Craig in it before he was James Bond.
Okay.
Yeah. I can see. Okay. A lot of trepidation on my recommendations. I understand that.
Yeah.
I have a history. I get it. But, like, you know, I think it's quite good. But
maybe we should all go and watch Reacher.
Yes.
I did. What a very long show. I know.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I bagged not.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I think, funnily enough,
you guys go here.
Strangely enough, I did watch what was that other one that's on Amazon at the moment, which was Jack Ryan.
Upload.
Oh, right. I watched Jack Ryan, and
so
I was
good.
I know. Well, is it because I watched it and I was like, oh, that's this film. Oh, that's this. They're just redoing the plot lines from all of the Harrison Ford ones. And I just kind of every now and again, I was like, oh, no, that's Clear and Present Danger. That's this one. I'm like, I'm just kind of like, Harrison's done this. You've just dragged them all out a little. Okay, fair enough. Whatever. It's fine. It's fine.
Kang, Adsky's asking, are we doing the Batman next week?
I don't know. We're like, once
we're going to decide what we're doing.
Yes, once we wrap up this conversation,
we're
going to be talking about, like, so what are we doing until the end of April, people?
Yeah, because we've been all over the place. I'm not even sure when the fuck we're going to get a chance to do Animates because I've, like, end of March is a very busy time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a whole bunch of stuff and there will be an announcement very soon. I do want to talk about the Batman because I'd like to watch it.
Yes, we've got to watch the Batman. Plus,
I wouldn't
there's a few
like
other things.
To watch it, but I will watch it.
I've heard enough things that about it that are interesting that I'm like, okay.
There's a few other things that are out that are coming out soon, i.e. the Halo TV series and Moon Knight. Moon Knight.
Yes. Kane for Moon Knight.
Morbius is coming out.
I'd like to talk about Bel Air at some point in time.
Again with the Bel Air, but that's okay. I need to take
out
Peter's.
I've got a lot of movies I want to talk about.
Peter's suggestion to watch The Foreigners.
Yes.
I've was that my suggestion, was it?
Wasn't it? I thought it was.
Who's Elskar Norby?
Based on Elskar.
I thought it was Elskar, but you know.
Yes, it was.
But you are the one who reminded me. I just recently finished watching Station 11, which I can highly recommend.
I know nothing about this. So.
Station 11 is like different. Apocalypse drama, and I really enjoyed it.
Interesting.
It's not your usual apocalypse thing because I like you know that sort of thing where you're watching a TV show and it says you need to get into this because I want to present you with characters that I want you to like interact with and get to know and like. Yeah, everyone in Station 11 I ended up liking, and the villain is the Apocalypse.
So that's something I feel like we're having the talk that we were going to have after the stream about what we're going to talk about next, but we're just
doing it kind of in front of people. So sorry.
Send us your please tell us your recommend. Like, what do you want us to talk about? Because we're happy to take requests. We'll do requests, weddings, parties, anything.
Yeah. We may do that. We may ignore you for months and months and months.
Not looking at anybody else. Can ignore it.
Jill does weddings. Peter does parties, and Quinny does anything.
I do button misfits. I do so many button misfits.
So
yeah, and yes, we will give you a heads up for homework purposes. Will.
That's what we're doing.
After we're done talking to you, we're gonna decide all of this and put it out in a way that you can actually, you know.
And we're just gonna try and figure out when we can do like the Batman.
Okay. Adsky is asking my thoughts on Studio 666, which is, I'm the only person out here who has seen it. It's the Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters horror movie.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Like, it's a no fucking around horror movie. It starts with some very violent, squelchy, bloody, smashing brains in kind of violence. And throughout the whole rest of it, anytime that there's more horror to be done, it is done with lots of blood and gore and having a great time. Yeah. But then underneath it all, it's still Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters dicking around, not being very good actors, but still having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of the thing, is like, they weren't touring, so they just made a horror film for the fun of it, and they had enough money to make it right.
Yeah, and, you know, the more that they kind of went on with it, I was like, this is... It's okay, as I think Trav said to me straight after, he's like, it is literally half an hour too long and could very easily have been cut by doing some fairly easy editing. Mm. But you don't really care, because Grohl and the band are good company to hang out with until the deaths start. And then it just turns into a whole bunch of people dying and playing music and then dying and playing music. Yeah. Right. Good fun. Like, if you like Foo Fighters, go and watch it. It's a lot.
There's also The Adam Project, which is out on Netflix.
Yeah, can we talk about this after the show?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Sure.
We're going to be here all night.
Absolutely.
Yes, I literally just give you... That is the only review I'm going to do of Studio 666. I'm not going to write one. Cool. So I just wanted to give Adsky what he wanted.
Sure. All right. Okay, great. We're good. Thanks, everyone. Thanks. Sorry about last week's weirdness. And thanks for coming along this Tuesday. Hooray! Back to regular. And then maybe, kind of. Quinny's got to move. Peter's zooming in from outer space in irregular. So Jill and I, rocking on. Much normal.
Good old reliable us.
Good old reliable us.
The old reliable.
Yep. When they let me do it by myself, it just becomes a whole bunch of Jean-Claude Van Damme riffs.
Ain't doing that. I would tell that we were going to raid somebody else, but there is nobody else that I know who is currently doing anything. So
we don't need to raid anyone. We just let you all like retire back into your Tuesday evening. Go watch something fun. Have a nice time. Enjoy the sunshine. All right.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
raping, lusting, and his hunger for power became known to more and more people, the demands to do something about this outrageous man became louder and louder.
Listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.